gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, Bicoastal Extravaganza. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite, whom we love. Carbonite online backup saved my ass so many times, you just don't know. It's a, more times than you, Chris. It's
Oh, really?
A must. It's a must for my computer. Don't wait. Back up your computer today. It's like magic. It does it automatically every time you're online. I don't know how it happens.
Oh, my God.
For a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription, visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. Do it! Do it now! May I just say, I'm glad that our little bicoastal experiment does not come, that Skype does not come with scratch and sniff, because I think I can smell Rebecca Taylor's au gratin potatoes from here.
You know what? How dare you, too? I'm hearing it from Chris, and now I'm hearing it from you. This is my fantastic breakfast that I love. It's instant au gratin. It's heaven. No, you're wrong.
No,
you're wrong.
No.
All I hear is Chris shout, Rebecca, get in here. Leave your stinky-ass potatoes out there.
I almost brought my potatoes in here. Don't piss me off.
Au gratin potatoes were never meant to be instant. You're supposed to make it in a casserole dish.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what
that smells? Is instant.
You know what I bet it smells like, Rebecca? Is when someone barfed in school and they threw that orange powder on it.
It does.
Somebody throw some orange powder on Rebecca's potato.
I really want to finish my breakfast, so thanks a lot, you guys.
Mm. I can top that. I am eating seafood pot stickers as we speak.
Even worse. That sounds gross.
Delicious, right, Chris? You had dim sum in San Francisco over the holidays.
I had dim sum on New Year's Day.
Shumai and I, God knows whatever
my
else.
My favorite thing in the world is now Shanghai dumplings. Oh, my
we
God.
We had a little scuffle here in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. Someone was trying to heat up their tea. They took my pot stickers out of the microwave.
Well, you probably left them in there for days.
It's like that stinky-ass stuff that one of your coworkers, I know everyone listening now has somebody.
Yes.
There's some stinky-ass stuff that one of your coworkers always makes in the microwave.
Right.
Yeah. You remember the famous potato incident in which I almost killed you and Jim Ward.
And burned down the building and killed Ryan Seacrest, too. You almost killed him.
I know
him.
It. Oh, that would have been some financial damage, huh?
Yeah.
Take that, Clear Channel. Yeah, I had forgotten, Rebecca, that you can't... I had the potato in a aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's weird. How come it's not cooking?
Yeah, you know what's even weirder is that you still cook it that way.
No, I remember now.
Oh,
no
good.
Aluminum
you
foil
cook
in the microwave.
With styrofoam in the microwave. Who does that?
Well,
see, now I can't. I think I should try just to see how our security system is working to get on a plane with a potato in aluminum in my underpants. To see what happens with the X-ray machine there. All right. So, you know, Mama's Madcap New York Adventures, you want to hear the latest version?
Oh, what do you do now?
Because this has turned into a version of how cold is it in New York? It's really cold. My heat went out in my rickety old apartment building last night. I'm in one of those things with the, you know, the...
What are you, in a tenement on the Lower East Side?
It's one of those old places with the radiators, which, by the way, are a little bit loud.
Most places have radiators in New York.
It sounds like one of the comedy club audiences when I started out. It's just a lot of hissing all night long.
And is there banging, too?
Hissing and banging.
Yeah.
And show me your... I don't know how it can do that. It sometimes yells, show me your...
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, how about that there? Had it called a... What do they call the guy? The super. I was like, it occurs to me there's no heat in the...
All the
radiators went cold.
Wait a minute. You have a mantle because you banged your eye on it, which means you probably have a fireplace. Why didn't you just turn on the fireplace?
Well, because that's... First of all, it's not going to heat the whole apartment. Second, it's upstairs. It's not where my bed is. I'm going to huddle. I'm going to, like a hobo over a heating grate. I'm
yes.
going to huddle there all night.
Sure, why not?
Anyway,
sleep on the couch.
It's fine. It started. Anyway, but here's the... So then the super shows up this morning. He like my dogs, Chris, seems to have no, you know, sense of that this show starts at a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm waiting for my dogs to poo in the morning, there's no, it's like, no, Mama, it starts at right at a specific, at 6 minutes after the hour, I gotta go!
Wait a minute, don't you have a dog sitter now, living
with
you?
Yeah, he showed up to give me a tour of the, I don't know what the hell, the radiator system in the building this morning. I'm like, I gotta, yeah, right.
He took you
exactly.
Down to the steam room.
It looked like the bottom compartment on Titanic. I was like, I don't have time for this now! I've got to go! By the way, oh, speaking of poo, because, you know, I always start the show with a delightful poo story.
Yeah.
So anyway, I my dogs, I have a little patio that I at least can let them out to, you know, if I don't have time to take them to the park or whatever.
It's a terraced garden that you have.
It is not. It's a little tiny patio. Anyway, my point is I tried to pick up the poo yesterday, and you can't. That's how cold it is. It is a frozen poo glacier on my patio. The poo, you know, the thing that you pick it up with, that was frozen shut. And, like, literally, I would need, like, liquid explosives and blasting caps to get the poo up now. It's
I mean, can't you
can't,
use, like,
I would need a shovel. You can't even get it up. It is frozen solid.
Can't you,
know.
Like, put your hand in a plastic shopping bag and
No, you
pick
understand.
It
is a frozen poo glacier that cannot be. You need some sort of explosive to get it off the patio.
So it's like picking up a rock, isn't it?
Yes, but it's melded to the ground.
Oh, like that kid's tongue in A Christmas Story. To the
yes.
pole. Okay.
Listen, L.A. boy, what are you doing? Like, you've never known cold before? What do you mean? I don't understand.
I've never walked a dog in frigid weather.
Yeah, it's fun. Trust me on that. All right. By the by, Jeff writes, Steph, we here in New York are getting a little sick of your whining.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
First of all, get used to it, Jeff. That's talk radio is just whining, isn't it? It's it's broadcast whining. We were looking forward to you coming to our great state, but now I question if you can handle it. I guess California makes you soft.
Computer says yes.
Yes! Yes!
It does.
It thins your blood out and makes you...
It turns you into a puss.
Yeah, like you.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about with New Yorkers spitting? I've been in the city for over 10 years. I haven't seen what you described. Yeah, the consensus, you guys, is that I am just a big pig. That I thought everyone in New York spit when it's cold, but I think I'm just... See, my blood has thinned out in California, so I'm just adapting. So I apparently that is not allowed
just
here.
Just don't do it.
I thought you could spit. I didn't know.
Yeah, don't...
I was in New York!
Don't do it when you go to Minneapolis later on this month.
It says it right in the subway, no spitting, so that would imply
yeah, but
that
that's
New Yorkers
meant for
spit
thugs.
And they need to be told not to spit.
That's meant for thugs and men. But women don't spit.
I think Paula Poundstone did that thing that she never even thought about it until she saw the sign, and then she wanted to. Because now you're like, oh, well, now I need to spit.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Love Jeff in Brooklyn because we can't afford an Upper East Side with a grand balcony. I don't have... See what you do? I'm not on the Upper East Side, and I don't have a grand balcony or
whatever.
I have a frozen poo glacier.
Attached to
with
a
no heat
on the Lower East Side.
With no heat.
Uh-huh.
That's what I have. All right. Julie in Seattle writes, Dear Steph, a fascinating new survey says most Americans, more than ever, in fact, now agree with Chris and the surly and openly insubordinate Miss Rebecca Taylor. Their jobs... Their jobs suck, and it's all the boss's your fault. Actually, the rising rate of hating one's job may have something to do with the way Republicans ran the country into the ground over the last 10 years, according to the Smarty Pants economist cited below. Decreasing salaries, extortionate health care costs, life-destroying job insecurity, and workers being bored out of their skulls day after day as they toil away at senseless, repetitive tasks like pulling sound clips off the Fox News network.
Uh-huh.
It all adds up to on-the-job hell. Yeah, even Americans who are lucky enough to have work in this economy, only 45% of Americans are satisfied with their work.
I saw that survey and thought they interviewed me.
Me too.
Aren't you delightful? All right. At least I could be making you try to use blasting caps on frozen poo.
You would
in
if
my
I was
tenement.
Out there. I know you would.
Yes, you totally would.
You totally would.
I know. You guys are so happy I'm 3,000 miles away. I can see it in your Skypey faces every morning. All right. We have Representative Allison Schwartz coming up. Carl Frisch from Media Matters co-hosts Right Wing World next hour. And then Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, in the meantime, can I have some Christmas music? Here's someone that had a worse Christmas than I did, who almost, I had a Christmas ornament eye. I almost lost my eye. But my trip to visit my Republican relatives got canceled because of a snowstorm.
That's right.
Woohoo! No, not really. We're going to reschedule sometime and wherever. And I was supposed to go down to North Carolina to spend a Christmas with my, yeah. This, This is what might have happened, so it's lucky I didn't go. This is a Christmas Eve brawl story from Savage, Minnesota, which was a little more savage than usual on this particular night. Criminal charges are pending against four of the members of a family in Savage, Minnesota, after a drunken fracas broke out at the home on Christmas Eve.
Fracas? Is that worse than a ruckus?
I'm guessing many of us listening had a drunken fracas on Christmas Eve. According to police, the parents and their teenage triplets were drinking alcohol together then.
Oh, boy.
When the two 17-year-old brothers got into a physical fight during the altercations, the brother's 17-year-old sister swung a baseball bat toward the head of one of them. Oh. The boy blocked the swing of the bat, but his arm was broken upon impact. The father of the teen then got involved in the fight and was punched in the head several times by the teen with a broken arm. Good for him.
Oh,
he ran that off.
That's a party.
Party, exactly. Good. Also during the commotion, the 17-year-old girl went into a seizure that was caused by a pre-existing medical condition. Oh, well, too bad the health care reform bill came a little too late for her. So a second ambulance was called. Medics took the father, the teen with a broken arm, and the 17-year-old girl to the hospital for medical treatment. About an hour later, police were called back to the home on a report that the third triplet, a 17-year-old boy, had allegedly assaulted his mother and then fled the home on foot. So if you can top that with your Christmas story, have at it. All right. We may have had a fracas involving stinky food in the microwave this morning had I been in the same place you two are.
Yeah, but you would have brought the seafood. That would have only added to it.
Chris, yeah, you eat in the morning's eggs a little, in here.
I haven't eaten eggs in here for
years.
Yeah,
oh, your fart eggs. Ask Jim about that, Rebecca.
He
opens that Tupperware, and it's just like, oh.
I haven't eaten those in a year and a half.
Let me just say, cooking seafood in the morning, it sounds like it smells like a hotel room Tiger Woods just left. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Say no more.
All right. You know, kids, I've told you that I owe my life to Carbonite.
Yes.
I can't count on you two incompetent boobs, but thank God Carbonite saves my ass on a daily basis. Yeah, listen, for someone like me that doesn't understand technology, listen to this. Carbonite backs up your PC or Mac automatically whenever you're connected to the internet. It's magic.
You don't need to even think about it.
Yes.
Or press any buttons or anything.
Yes. And you know, since I don't have Rebecca to bark orders at, since I'm since I'm not in L.A.,
right.
I have to find my own stuff, Rebecca. Like my
you need Carbonite so bad. Like
my
so
lease
bad.
For my house in L.A., for the place here, can you imagine losing everything on your desktop? For instance, pictures. Like, there are pictures I had that I wanted to bring here, and some of them you don't have another copy. Carbonite saved my pictures. That's why I use Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup. It is safe. It is secure. If you lost all your most important personal and financial documents, photos, email, music, how about your music? If I lost any of my, Donna Summer collection, yeah, there would be no reason to live.
That would be no great loss.
All right.
Gaga collection?
Oh, we're going to play the Fred Phelps reading Lady Gaga thing in a second.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
Carbonite
yeah.
saved it for me. Okay. All right. Imagine the relief of getting it all back with Carbonite. Remember, you have to back it up to get it back. Sign up today. Check this out. $55 for the entire year. Why not? Go to Carbonite.com now. I said now. Use my offer code Stephanie for a special offer. A 15-day free trial, plus you get 2 months free with your subscription.
Woo-hoo.
Right now. So go to Carbonite.com. Now, I'm saying now, enter the offer code Stephanie for a free trial and 2 months free. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. We love you, Carbonite. All right, 19 minutes after the hour. The president's mad. We'll be back with his press conference yesterday and also the Fred Phelps Lady Gaga thing, you don't want to miss. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stop my radiators from making noise in the middle of the night?
No.
I bet that it could.
No.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after. It sounds like an old Pointer Sisters song, my radiators.
huh?
They did that Steam Heat song. It's an old reference. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
Did I tell you that I ran into Anita Pointer a couple of weekends ago?
Oh, I would have died. Where does one run into a pointer these days?
Well, you know, I do these infomercials on our local station here on the weekends, and we had to go to that chiropractor's office where to record the commercials, and she was there.
There she was, and at point having some sort of back trouble?
She was getting her back trouble relieved.
Well, good for her.
And she looks lovely.
It's probably from doing one too many neutron dances.
I think so.
And being entirely too excited. That'll throw your back out at a certain age, trust me.
A slow hand will take care of that.
Uh-huh. All right, that's enough.
What?
With this Pointer Sister. Yes, for God's sake. Woo! I enjoyed, thank you for asking, by the way, I thoroughly enjoyed my seafood pot stickers. I don't know if I got any of that $177,000 tuna in there. Did you see that? Somebody bought a tuna for, I don't know, some sushi restaurants. Bought a big, huge tuna. It's all the rage on the Yahoo page. What?
Well, nobody uses Yahoo anymore, so I'm surprised anybody knows about it.
Oh, boy. All right. Even Tiger Woods doesn't pay that much for... Hey, I don't know why I keep doing those jokes about... That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of disgusting, Fred Phelps of the Very Reverend of GodHatesFags.com and the related, although we don't know why, GodHatesSwedes.com.
Mm-hmm.
His wildly talented granddaughter. Is this the Megan?
Megan Phelps Roper.
Megan Phelps Roper.
Yes.
My favorite Roper after Mr. Roper. She did a little song parody of the Lady Gaga hit?
Of Poker Face, yes.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, here we go. Here is Megan. Someone's got a Casio. Does this end in Lady Gaga going to hell for some reason?
Yes. And here it comes.
You wanna strut like you're unique, but baby, please.
No.
Monster lady, gay, show your teeth, this is all me.
God hates you.
Think of substitution is your game, you're just a fraud. But any halfwit sees your hate for fans and for your God. Oh, 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 you pissed off God, you'll see what he's got.
Oh.
Do.
She pissed off God.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
You ain't God. You ain't God. No, you ain't God. No, poker face. You just got. You just got. Yeah, you just got your poorest day.
I could play this all morning.
No poker face. No, no poker face. No, 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 poker face.
It goes on for another 4 minutes.
Well, why are we stopping?
Oh, because, it's more of the same.
Hey, may I just say, for a Phelps Roper, what's her name?
Megan Phelps Roper.
Yes, she's got a little bit of talent, actually. That wasn't so bad.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. No, that was so off-key.
Yeah, but what did Lady Gaga do specifically? Why does God hate her? Do they explain?
Because she whores around.
Someone like anyone else in the music business. I see the distinction there.
She gives lip service to liberating her young fans. Lady Gaga brings them into slavery to their own corruption, teaching them to glory in their shame. She hates you. Yeah.
Oh.
So there you go.
You know what I think would piss God off is using the phrase pissed off in a song. I don't think God likes you talking like that. All right. Just my thoughts for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure Megan Phelps Roper will take your advice.
I like the little whispered, God hates you. Oh, judgmental much? All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Just put your box on the table.
While we're eating?
Oh, okay.
Sue from Minneapolis has a quick frozen dog poo tip for Mama. Good morning, Sue.
Hi, I'm just have a Roseanne Barr dog frozen dog poo tip, and what you do is you take your golf club and you whack it into your neighbor's yard.
Oh, that'd be a good idea, but we don't really have yards so much in Manhattan,
so
it would just go into my fence and hit me in the eye again. Okay, thank you, Sue, for that disastrous tip for Mama. Thank you.
Take that, neighbor.
That is something Roseanne Barr would do.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on with the important stuff in the world, everybody. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, too. I'm just adjusting to the temperature back here in the East Coast.
It's a little intense right now, isn't it?
Yeah, a little much. A little bit. Congresswoman, the president, he was mad yesterday. Yeah.
Good.
Go ahead. No, I mean, I think that he, I have to say, you know, I'm so used to the Bush administration never taking responsibility for anything. You know, it was always blaming someone else. I thought it was very, he was just right up there saying this is unacceptable.
Oh, that's right. I mean, he's the commander in chief. He's head of all his branches, and we've laid out that they're supposed to not only get the information, but they're supposed to use it. And he did absolutely the right thing, which is to call everyone in and say, we got to fix this. And it was unacceptable to get that close to a disaster. And, he's right to say, use this information, connect the dots, I think was his word, and, don't take too much time in doing it. And took some immediate steps as well, which, of course, is important to reassuring Americans and protecting Americans. Security in our airports, security here at home is the top mission of the president and for all of us. And so his members of Congress are going to be watching that very carefully as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't offer any, specific steps yet. He's still reviewing in terms of new steps for security. I know my friend Ed Schultz thinks that naked flying might be next. What do you think? What can we possibly take off next? I mean, what do you think is going to help us in this?
Well, the real issue is making sure that, it's not just, how can I say this, it's not just a formality to go through the screening, that we need to make sure that a TSA and information they get through intelligence, that they have people off, that they individual means of people we ought to be doing extra screening on. It's both screening everyone. It's also targeting those who we know are real risks to this nation, and that's what was missed here.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe again I'm missing something here, but obviously all the outcry on the right wing is about trying him in the courts as a criminal, which I'm confused, but isn't that exactly what George Bush did with the shoe bomber, and nobody said a peep, right? Nobody on the Republican side had a thing to say about that then.
Look, we can disagree as Republicans and Democrats on some of the immediate strategies, but it seems to me that what the Republicans are doing right now is just looking for ways to say we're wrong, we're not doing it right, and when it comes to protecting this nation, we should all be on the same page. We actually have the same mission. My feeling about this is that we have to make sure that people are charged, who are at risk, who have done it or threatened us. If we charge, they have to be prosecuted and they have to be punished. That's
right.
What Americans want. Exactly how that gets done, I think it's really a question that's left up to criminal attorneys and the government, and let's make sure that when we protect our
right. I mean, Congresswoman,
it seems first, and then we prosecute people.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that, Republican or Democrat, this is not a partisan issue. We want results. And what's gotten results in the past is prosecuting them in the criminal courts. When we've approached it like a war on terror or whatever, the term was that the Bush administration coined, they got away. I mean, to me, I want them to be caught. Call me crazy.
Well, we want them to be caught, we want them to be charged, and we want them to be prosecuted. And that is something that I think we do share that goal. This has got to be, this can't just be about rhetoric and scaring people. It has to be about being smart and protecting people. It's hard to be 100%, but we sure ought to get as close as we possibly can.
Right. Well, and the other thing that strikes me is literally we've had we played some people on the right yesterday saying we should be torturing this guy. First of all, not only if it's a doesn't work. Secondly, he's already told us everything.
I mean, That's right, and we've heard a lot about that already. He has already admitted to what he's done. Of course, if we get more information to the degree he knows it on who he talked to, who he's working with, that's all very important. But this is one case where he seems to be very willing to talk, and we have a good bit of information already about what he intended to do and who he talked to and who he planned it with. So we have to also work closely with Yemen, with countries that actually are willing to work on our side against al-Qaeda, against the Taliban. That is extremely important. So, racking up the rhetoric on this is, it's really not necessarily going to get us to the goal, which, of course, the president has.
Yeah. I mean, it really does seem like, I think there's one, we'll get to that story later, but there's one Republican that's running for office that literally said, liberals are a bigger threat than terrorists. We really should be fighting the liberal. And I thought, isn't there at least one subject, and that is, not being killed, that we're all just Americans, that you wouldn't politicize?
Right. Well, and also what should be understood, and I hope this is not a liberal or conservative notion, is, protecting our rights as Americans. To the degree we treat people without any kind of legal protections, it means that Americans are at risk for being treated the same way. And that is a huge risk to our military, to our intelligence community, to average Americans when they travel the world. And we have to be very conscious of that as well. Making sure that people have capabilities doesn't mean we aren't going to charge them and prosecute them and punish them. We've got to just do it under the rule of law, which is what we're demanding from other countries.
We have to
respect our own rule of law as well as international law, too.
Well, Congresswoman, absolutely. And speaking of, the rule of law, I mean, closing Gitmo, again, to me, just seems like common sense. Terrorists around the world have told us that's a recruiting tool. That and Abu Ghraib have been, so again, you want to do what works in the war on terror. I think, as the president always said during the campaign, you want to fight a tough but a smart war, right?
In the trend. And this is difficult. I mean, if there were, easy answers, obviously we would have already taken care of it earlier. We have to also keep it very dynamic, when we know that those who'd harm us, and there are people, they're real threats to the United States, they're going to change tactics. We have to be not only just looking at what happened yesterday, but what could happen in the future.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's the Americans both ways.
Congresswoman Anna. Absolutely. On another subject, Sean Hannity says that you and other Democrats are in the congressional basement under the covers with a flashlight working secretively on the health care reform bill. Am I missing something? Have we not been having this debate in public for not just the last year, but the last, 40 years?
Well, certainly, I don't know that I have ever seen a piece of legislation so debated and so open to the public and changes, modifications, response to public statements and opinions. We've worked really hard, as you point out, over the last 10 months to write a bill that has been really responsive and has been aired in the open. Obviously, hundreds of hearings and debates and a lot of public debate. So Republicans, unfortunately, have made a decision not to really work with us on health care reform or on much of anything else. So it is, we are going to be talking about what we are doing in public, but it is time for us to make some final decisions and get it done. That is something I think will actually help reassure Americans that we are going to work and meet this goal finally. You're right, after decades of finding a uniquely American way to help all Americans have access to private insurance. Looks like that public option is not going to be in the bill. If so, if that's the case, we certainly want to make sure that Americans have protections as they buy private insurance and that it's affordable. Those are both very important goals.
I mean, Leader Pelosi was talking about the public option yesterday, but clearly it doesn't look like there's any chance whatever's happening between the two committees is going to result in that.
That's right. But it does mean that we have both the opportunity and responsibility to make sure that there are real consumer protections and that we have rights with insurance companies and ability to make sure that they spend most of those dollars, 85% of the premium dollars on healthcare delivery, and that they keep overhead down, and that people have access to health coverage, not just health insurance. So it means that when you buy insurance, that it's going to cover meaningful health services. And of course, Speaker Pelosi talked about yesterday, she also talked about making sure Americans have access to health care as well as insurance coverage. So these are really very complicated and important goals to meet those, you know, those goals of both insurance coverage and access to health care.
Right.
And as we do all this, we expect people to take personal responsibility, and we also are working to make sure that providers have the ability to improve quality and reduce costs over time. And lots of innovations built into this legislation, and we're going to have to monitor the ones that work, expand those, and make sure people have access to care. At the end of the day, Americans have to hope and be happy. Improve health status. That's a goal as well. So pretty lofty goals, but we've put together legislation to meet it. We're not
Congresswoman,
be
before you
we're
go,
we're not going to be done when we're finished here. We're going to have to keep monitoring what's going on and as we move forward.
Your reaction to Byron Dorgan, your colleague's decision not to run again, that was a surprise.
Well, it was. These are all very personal as well as political decisions. So I don't second guess anyone's decision to move on to do something different at their own point in life. Public services, to me, something I've always done, always wanted to do. But you know, it's a very personal decision to move on. It does mean we'll have more seats to both defend, and we'll do that.
Yep, absolutely. But by the way, we appreciate you calling while you're in the midst of a hostage crisis. Is that a guy
She's
with a megaphone behind you?
She's
on
the train.
Oh, you're on the train. I'm sorry.
No, I'm on the train. I do take Amtrak from Philadelphia to Washington, and on my way to spend the day in Washington. It's a great way to travel.
Tell that loudspeaker guy to pipe down. You're on an important radio show. All right. Thank you, Congresswoman Allison Schwartz from Pennsylvania. Thank you so much, as always.
Good to talk to you.
All right. There she goes. That's a little disconcerting.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Huh?
She's taking the great American service known as Amtrak. So there you
and
go.
And good for her.
Uh-huh.
And good for her. I was relieved to know she was not in the midst of a hostage crisis. And whenever there's a megaphone involved, I get startled.
By the way, not only Byron Dorgan, but also Chris Dodd.
I know, was the other big news this morning. Yeah.
Yikes. Wow.
Don de los yikes. As we say on the Stephanie Miller Show. For no reason.
Byron Dorgan might be a little hard to defend that seat on the part of Dems, so that's a little troublesome there.
Yeah, I know. According to Morning Joe this morning, it's the end of the Democratic Party as we know it, apparently.
Yeah. Did Mika Brzezinski let him get away with that?
46 minutes to the hour, right back on the President's press conference yesterday, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Terrorist is able to board a plane with explosives on Christmas Day, the system has failed in a potentially disastrous way. And it's my responsibility to find out why and to correct that failure so that we can prevent such attacks in the future.
Yeah, but what if it was on winter solstice or
whatever?
Huh?
I was just... Christmas? I don't know what that has to do with it, but okay. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I think, Chris, that was a tip of the hat to Bill O'Reilly, that he understood this was part of the war on Christmas as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Kelly in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kel.
It is colder than cold here, so be glad for wherever you're at.
I know. I've already gotten all the letters bitching from Minnesota. New York, you don't know cold in New York. But don't start with me. I'm from Buffalo, all right? I can out-cold you any day. I lived through the blizzard of 77, my friend.
You guys have a mission that we are losing a couple of very good, especially in Dorgan's, liberals that will be hard to replace. But as progressives, we can replace them.
Yeah.
And but we need to know in those areas who, if there is someone who I'm going to send my measly dollars that I can send to, which I will send to, who is that person that is going to be running against this Republican opposition that is so strong that they don't feel that they can actually win?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, at least in Dorgan's case, that the Republican opposition is pretty great.
Yeah.
So whatever I've got, and I'm sure whatever else your listeners have, they're going to send to that progressive person that will actually represent us. And
yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, Kelly, we've been talking about this. This is not the time to to quit. This is the time to work harder.
No.
You know, like Katrina Vandenhoeven was talking about the other day on the show. You know, getting Obama elected was the first step. Now we really, we need, look at health care. We need to get more progressive Democrats in there. We need to work harder, not go, oh, the hell with all of them, you know?
Yep. I love you guys.
I love you.
You always represent us so well. And you do it with a little bit of laughter, and that's what we need.
Yes,
so
we're chuckling.
Great day.
Thank you, honey. Yes, we are the happy, clappy liberals. Thank you. Aldous in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Aldous.
Hey, Steph, so, you know, I'm branching off what the fellow who just called in said. All I can tell you is that we have an opportunity. There are incumbents on both sides of the aisle that are deciding not to run this year. We have a great opportunity, and a dangerous one if we pass it up, to get more Al Frankens in there, to get people in there who aren't owned by corporations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to get out there, identify who these people are, and support
yeah, and by the way,
crap out of them.
Right, Aldous, don't buy the psychological warfare. I mean, look, even Michael Steele admitted, you know, they're not going to take back the House. You know, like, don't get all like, oh, my God. I mean, you know, this is historic. I mean, the party always loses seats, but let's not get hysterical already. Let's just get out there and work.
Well,
all right.
The Republicans are having a wargasm over the prospect of, you know, taking back
yeah.
the House.
Ah, that was my phrase, a wargasm, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly
I think
was.
So. Yes. Billy in Tampa on body scanners. Yes, Billy. Hello, Billy in Tampa. Or not. Mark in Minnesota on the war on terror as well. Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys. You know, one of the things that seems to be conspicuously absent is, you know, the talk of the Fort Hood incident where 13, you know, American soldiers were killed and more than 30 were injured. As, you know, looking at the breakdown and lapses, I mean, here was a guy in charge of overseeing the psychiatric health of our American soldiers who was talking that non-believers or infidels should have their throats cut off and have boiling oil poured down their necks.
Mm.
And this wasn't, you know, a red flag. And so my concern is that, you know, we're not hearing enough about that incident as well as this being a very broad and systemic problem. But also the knee-jerk reaction seems to be, well, we need to hold hearings, you know, like they would be useful. If people recall, the co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission's ultimate conclusion in their book was that that committee was set up to fail. And, you know, we still need to look into these incidents with, you know, full, you know, to the
yep.
fullest extent, and not,
yep.
you know, assume just because they're holding a hearings that we're finding out what's really
yeah.
happening.
Yep.
And last for Chris, I keep hearing about talks of these two lawyers, this husband and wife out of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
that seem to, witness the fact that this guy had been initially rejected from entering the plane. If you could tell me about that, I'd appreciate it.
I have no idea, because they haven't been on CNN or Fox News. So
you've heard the rumors? I just don't know.
Yes, someone mentioned it yesterday on the air here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right, honey, thank you. Yeah, I mean, obviously, whatever we hear about that, we will pass along. You know, interesting, Chris, about why we were talking about closing Gitmo, which the president talked about again yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, make no mistake, we will close Guantanamo Bay. The camp was an explicit rationale for the formation of al-Qaeda operating in Yemen.
Yes.
I mean, so it's like, and again, this isn't like cowering going, oh, we have to close it. You know what is deterring terrorists? The fact that we keep catching them.
Yeah.
We keep foiling them and putting them in prison. I mean, that's, you know, that's how you fight the war on terror. All I'm saying is you don't want to openly have more Abu Ghraibs or Gitmos that are recruiting tools for terrorists. You know, we're never gonna stop terrorism entirely, but we can, like I say, we can fight a tough but smart war against this against terrorism. All right, Don in Rockford on terror as well. Hey, Don.
Good
Don,
morning.
Yes.
Listen, President Obama wants to move Gitmo into Illinois, but we have
no.
a nuclear.
He wants to move some of the people from Gitmo into a prison in Illinois, and the town in Illinois
speaking of fighting a smart war on terror, a lot of the terrorists that went back to terror, George Bush released.
There's a nuclear power plant right down the road from where he wants to move these Islamic heroes. Talk about a recruitment. I mean, come on now. This is insane.
Islamic heroes, as you say, or, you know, holy warriors. We do a military tribunal, and then you make them warriors and not criminals like they are, in my personal opinion. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch, our buddy, our pal from Media Matters for America, joins us to co-host another rollicking right-wing world next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out, won't ya? You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Jim Ward would very much enjoy the delightful story of my frozen dog poo glacier in my patio here in New York.
Pooper, get ahead!
Yeah, exactly.
Astounding, wonderful girl, woman that I've ever known. I'm not an idiot. I know how the world works.
Yeah, all right. All right. Yeah. Lots to get to. We have Hump Days with Hal Sparks coming up. But first, it's Carl Frisch from the Media Matters for America. You know, Media Matters here in America, and Carl Frisch knows it. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too, sir.
You know that poo glaciers are one of the signs that Glenn Beck has been talking about as proof that there's no global warming. I could be wrong. That might have just been a dream.
Yeah, a
nightmare.
Dream.
Yeah.
Yes, that proves that global warming's a myth. All right. Thank you, Fred. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Fred Barnes on the Britt Baer Show on the closing of Gitmo. Here we go.
The president says over and over again, he said again today, that one of the great recruiting tools for al-Qaeda is the presence of Guantanamo prison. I just don't believe that's true at all. If he believes that, he does not understand the nature of Islamic jihadism at all. Nobody's recruited because they're mad at the Shangri-La of prisons. This is a religious fervor that they have. It's not affected by that. He keeps saying that. He's wrong.
But I thought as a Muslim, he would understand these things.
Well, you know, Fred Barnes is an expert on all things military.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, first of all, he doesn't see the intel that the president sees. And he's like, oh, he doesn't understand.
Well, he doesn't even have to trust
the president. The president said yesterday they have intelligence that was the explicit rationale for al-Qaeda forming in Yemen.
Well, he doesn't have to trust the president. I mean, how long did we have to hear the right in this country drool over General Petraeus?
Mm-hmm.
He says the same thing. So do many military leaders. It's only the nut jobs at Fox News who don't believe it.
Yeah. And Fred Barnes said it was religious fervor, which is why they're mad at us. What, kind of like Britt Hume's religious fervor on Fox News Sunday?
You know, maybe you should just convert to Christianity.
That would help.
There
yeah.
you go. All right. Noted security expert Ann Coulter on the O'Reilly Effect.
Political correctness has them bending over backwards. They're so afraid of being accused of profiling. The quickest way to get through is to look like one of the last terrorists.
Well, that may be true.
The only way the body scan, the naked body scan machine, would help avert terrorist attacks on airplanes is if Muslims were the ones who were so offended that they suddenly decided to stop flying. That is the only way it would work.
Also, if Ann Coulter be afraid to reveal her junk.
You know, she also followed that up with a joke about, you know, Bill Clinton and whatnot being the guy doing the searches. And, you know, I think she followed that up with a few OJ jokes and some jokes about airplane food. She's like, is this thing on? You know, it's hysterical to listen to all these people at Fox News and the pundits that come on, like Ann Coulter, talk about the need for racial profiling in the same breath as they talk about how Obama's after their freedom and their liberty, and the Founding Fathers wanted freedom and liberty, and Mom's Apple Pie was all about freedom and liberty. I guess freedom and liberty only extend to people who are not male Muslims.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She's just cranky because people are going to be able to see her penis on the body scanner machine.
Stephanie.
What? Okay, let's move on. O'Reilly on Obama being so left-wing.
President Obama is so left-wing that he can't bring himself, right, to admit that harsh, and that's a key word, measures have to be taken against these
people. Shouldn't be doing harsh.
You know, am I missing something, Carl? The guy already told us everything.
Here's my idea of harsh. What you do is you turn on a shower, you go to your favorite Greek deli, you get a falafel, and then you rub it furiously on their back to exfoliate their skin. That's my idea of harsh, Stephanie.
Taking off a couple layers of epidermis as foreplay. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show on the health care bill.
This bill is a stitching together of compromises and deals with hospitals, doctors, drug companies, manufacturers of all kinds. It is a special interest to bill, and that's why it's so incoherent. It's stuff you don't want to show in public. What's going to happen in these meetings is going to be extremely ugly, and that's why it makes sense if you're a Democrat to hide it and not have any camera anywhere near there.
Yes, they're in the root cellar of the Congress, so no one can see them. You know, could this be any more open, this debate? It's been going on, what, almost a year, Carl?
Try 40 or 60
yeah,
or
exactly.
75. Yeah, I mean, perhaps they should show the hearings, but you know, they should only allow the talkie version to go out to rational people.
Yes.
Everybody else can just sit by their transistor radio in their czar cellar. You know, they've converted all those nuclear bomb shelters from the 60s into these shelters to keep people from being taken over by the czars.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, it seems to me the Democrats are finally doing this the right way. It's like the Republicans have been of no help, will never be of any help. They're just trying to get this done now.
Well, it's
like, you know,
to hear them talk about the rules of the House and the Senate. You know, they didn't give much of a care from 2005 to 1995 to 2007 when they controlled the House and the Senate for the rules of the House. They were passing stuff at midnight. I worked on the Rules Committee. We'd get called to midnight sessions for emergency sessions to pass the farm bill, you know, because they didn't want people to know what was in it. Or twisting arms and bribing members of Congress on the House floor to pass Medicare Part D so that the drug companies could have a few billion extra dollars. So perhaps Democrats have finally learned to practice the rules of the House like Republicans did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. About time. All right, Sean Hannity on the health care bill as well.
In a stunning break from tradition, Democratic leaders will reportedly forego the formal public conference process to merge the House and Senate bills. Instead, secret deliberations will likely be held behind those closed doors. And that brings us to our headline tonight, Democracy in Hiding.
Hysterical much? Yeah.
Kennedy in hiding? Or, yeah, you know, much of the conference process has always been behind closed doors. There have been times that Democrats haven't even been allowed to participate in the conference process. So, you know, it's not surprising. I mean,
it's a short-term memory loss problem, Carl. It's like when they say this has never been done before, this reconciliation process. Oh, well, if you don't count pushing through Bush's tax cuts for the rich, you know.
Right, it's like Dana Perino's. There were no terrorist attacks during George Bush's first term. It's fascinating to hear Andy, because even if things were happening publicly, what would he be saying? He'd be saying, the gall of these liberals in Congress that we have to sit here and watch them debate health care.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you could ever please somebody like Sean Hannity is stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid.
To put it plainly.
All right. Oh, hey, speaking of which, nice segue. I just have to get your take before you go on Sarah Palin. You know, noted security expert Sarah Palin.
is echoing Dick Cheney's charge that Obama misunderstands the war on terror. She said Obama's meeting with top national security advisors does nothing to change the fact his fundamental approach to terrorism is fatally flawed. We're at war with radical Islamic extremists, and treating this threat as a law enforcement issue is dangerous for our nation's security. That's what happened in the 90s, and we saw the result on September 11th. See, she's echoing Mary Madeline's thing that he inherited 9/11.
Right,
you
Obama
see, from Clinton.
I think it's very prudent to take foreign policy advice from a half-term governor. Again, stupid.
Who thinks that a floating Putin head is the biggest threat to the country?
Right. The notion that these things are not treated like criminal activity is baloney, and I guess they don't want DOJ or the FBI or the CIA involved in these things. They'd rather just handle it militarily, which just goes to show their appreciation for our intelligence gathering community. Perhaps that's why we heard about Yellowcake. Perhaps that's why we heard about WMD. And that's why we're hearing about this now, because they have absolutely no respect for the intelligence gathering community.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the other thing. I really don't even get this. I'm really confused. It's because we caught and convicted the guys that did the coal or whatever, that's why. 9/11? What? I don't even get the connection. Do you?
There is no connection. I mean, they've been trying to place blame for 9/11 at the foot of Clinton for, since it happened. So it's not surprising.
Well, and I was going to say earlier, Carl, that there wasn't a peep when Bush prosecuted shoe bomber Richard Reid. This was at the height of, the post 9/11. Führer, there was nobody said a peep on the right about that, right?
It's funny to hear them talk about the pants bomber, the Christmas bomber under Obama and how Obama waited so long, Karl Rove. Obama waited so long to say anything. How dare he? You know, he did it 2 days quicker than Bush did for the shoe bomber. So, everything is political with these people.
Yeah.
Facts do not matter. I used to be a Republican, and I know that in a political war as a Republican, when you beat your opponent, you put your foot on their neck and you snap it.
Yep.
When you're a progressive, you put your foot on the ground to base yourself as you put your hand out to pick the person back up.
Yep.
So this is what they do, and this is what they do best. And they do it on networks where they're not going to get a tough question follow-up.
Yep, absolutely. But thank God that's why Media Matters for America is
there.
Yay! MediaMatters.org.
There you go. Carl Frisch, our buddy, our pal. See you next time.
I can't wait.
Yay.
Me too. Bye, Carl. Oh, that was... He was being a little clingy there at the end.
He was.
I like that in a man. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with the President's press conference and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. David in San Francisco on the War on Terror. Hello, David.
Hey, morning, Steph. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And you mooks. Hey, as you were talking about Carl from Media Matters' list, essentially, of different problems with why we're not getting these governmental employees to perform their duties, we noticed that back here in California back in 2000 when the Enron prosecutions never happened. As soon as Bush was in, he just cut the budget for prosecuting Enron. So that's how we went a whole decade without getting any justice out of Enron. And so, we knew here in California, that's why no Republican would even come to California. They knew the Republican Party was so furious at being shafted by their own leadership. Orange County, they raped Orange County. That's the blessed holy land of the Republican Party. And Enron looted them, and the GOP still never prosecuted Enron. So, these people, to me, they're saboteurs. They're not screw-ups.
Yep, I hear you, David. Yep, I lived through it. Lived through the Enron thing, and I lived through the Blizzard of 77. Oh. Kim in Orange County has some thoughts about that.
Hi, Stephanie, my Blizzard of 77 sister.
Yeah.
I was there, and I just wanted to give you some words of encouragement, because if you can survive the blizzard of 77, you can survive picking up frozen dog poo.
A frozen poo glacier.
Yeah.
That's
I was
right.
There. We were buried in our house. The snow was up to the roof. So.
But don't you expect that in Buffalo?
At least you had a roof. I didn't have a roof in 77.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Doesn't that happen every year in Buffalo, though?
No.
But not like 77.
77.
Kim and I had to walk 87 miles back and forth in a snowdrift at Catholic school.
But we were young then, so.
Yes, exactly.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Trina in California on Michael Steele. Oh, dear. Did you hear the latest one, Trina?
Oh, Mama, I'm not having a good morning.
Why, baby?
Oh, well, compared to Mr. Steele's comments with the honest engine,
yeah.
And now Megan Phelps hating the Swedish.
No, Megan Phelps hates Lady Gaga. Her father hates the Swedes.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm to blame for society's all of society's faults, because I'm half honest Indian and half Swedish and a progressive liberal. So when society wants to hate someone, I guess I'm the one.
Can you believe, people haven't heard this story, so Michael Steele actually used the phrase honest Indian.
Yes, he did.
On
yeah.
Fox News.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the more offensive thing, doesn't get why that might be defensive.
I know.
Yeah.
What'd I say? It's just the way I roll, baby.
There you go. That's the way he rolls. It's the way he wears the hat or the Indian headdress.
You
in
should
this
be
case.
An honest Indian, not an Indian giver. It's just the way I roll, baby.
Okay. All right.
All right. Boy, they're going to have his scalp for that. Okay.
Stephanie.
Oh, come on now, kids. Ed, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Ed in Mount Vernon.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, baby.
I was calling about the caller before the hour who had his panties in a bunch about the Gitmo detainees being transferred to the Halliburton Maximum Security Prison in Illinois down the street or next door or whatever from that nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us the greatest reason to just outlaw nuclear power plants.
Yeah, there you go. It's another way to get rid of it. All right. Thank you, honey. President yesterday talking about the crotch bomber.
We've learned that quickly piecing together information and taking swift action is critical to staying one step ahead of a nimble adversary. So we have to do better, and we will do better, and we have to do it quickly. American lives are on the line.
It's interesting, though, that the provisions of the Patriot Act were going to be reviewed, and now, suddenly, not anymore. It's been tabled because of the panty bomber. That's convenient.
Mm. Yeah. He said there was a deep failure of national intelligence. The government, he had the information, but he didn't connect the dots. He said, speaking bluntly, he said there had been even more red flags than had already been acknowledged, that an Al-Qaeda affiliate in the Arabian Peninsula planned to strike the U.S., and it was working with the man who, the crotch guy.
Yeah,
the information was there.
Nobody can pronounce his last name, crotch guy.
Yeah, exactly. Crotch guy. He'll always be crotch guy.
Yeah.
Jim makes him sound kind of squeezy by calling him the panty bomber. I don't know. The information was there, Obama said. I will accept that intelligence by its nature is imperfect, but it's increasingly clear the intelligence was not fully analyzed or fully leveraged. That's not acceptable, and I will not. We have this.
It is increasingly clear that intelligence was not fully analyzed or fully leveraged. That's not acceptable, and I will not tolerate it.
And somebody's making a boatload of money off those scanning machines. They're not
Michael Chertoff talking to you.
Yeah.
Talking to you now, Skeletor. He announced no new steps to improve the intelligence or security systems, but he promised they would be coming, signaling more changes for airport travelers. Oh, dear God. Now, I wonder if we have to wear our panties on our head. Like, what new? I mean,
start carrying bombs around in their rectums like drug dealers do? We're going to have, colonoscopies in line?
Maybe.
I just hate flying.
Are the scanners going to see that? If you have something in a cavity of some sort?
No. These scanners specifically will not see anything hidden in a body cavity. So what good are they?
Oh, no. Are we going to seriously have cavity searches at the airport?
Yes, everybody.
It's going to be
you know what? Someone's buying me a drink before.
Yeah, it'll be the only action you get, Stephanie.
Listen, I'm not opposed to, exactly. I'm not opposed to pat downs or to, you know.
Amtrak's looking better and better.
Yes.
But
we need
that
high-speed rail.
Yep, absolutely.
They better tell me I'm pretty first. Are you kidding me? Pat downs and cavity searches? Oy vey. Then you have to look for the telltale signs, like maybe their eyes are too big, or, when you have an uncomfortable rectal feeling. Something. Maybe watering eyes, something. I don't know. I'm just... How would you find out if someone has something in a cavity? That would be the only, right?
Suspicious smile, a smile in some cases.
It may come down to the point where we all have to be X-rayed before we get on.
Yeah, great. So you get irradiated from the X-rays and from the solar rays.
Let me get this straight. Our healthcare system still doesn't cover X-rays that we need in many cases. But as Jim says, we may be exposed to unnecessary radiation at the airport.
We'll be paying cash for that.
But maybe they could, you know what, why don't they meld the healthcare bill, Jim, and like a new Homeland Security bill? So maybe at least if they find something, you know, you think, oh, but you have a tumor.
Everybody gets
not a terrorist.
Free cavity search.
But you have something weird looking in your...
Everybody has to have an MRI before they get on a plane. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, jeez, huh? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Give a wet and wacky welcome to
Stephanie Miller,
Springfield's oldest performing mollusk.
Get to the show!
This is the show!
Stupid show. It is the
Stupid mollusk.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, we are less than half an hour away from Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
Why are you getting slutty? You're 3,000 miles away from him.
That's why I get slutty when I'm safe.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Safe from his advances.
Because, you know, he'll take you up on it.
I wish he were here to deliver me his package. Can I have another mini rant to do. You know, I told you I have my madcap adventures with FedEx, which I can't because I have no, what's the thing called, Chris? Doorman. So I can't ever get a package because, it comes while I'm on the air, and then you have to go to the Bronx to pick it up in some sort of bonfire of the vanities nightmare scenario.
But you didn't have a doorman here in Los Angeles. What's the difference?
Well, because they'll leave it. In New York, they won't leave it.
You know,
even if you sign, they won't leave it because,
Stephanie, you should just have it sent to work because there's somebody there to sign.
Well, sometimes
for
I don't know someone sending me something. So there's another company, which I won't name, that sounds like Schmoopies.
Yes.
I had the same thing happen with them. They leave, they make one attempt. They're like, oh, we made one attempt. That's
it. Hey, we made an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get it now.
I've had relationships like that. Oh, okay, that's it. Tried once. Screw you.
Maybe you could leave it with the super.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, he's not there all the time anyway, so now I got to go pick that up. I'm like, what? You make one attempt, and then that's it. You got to come get it.
New York supers aren't like Schneider from one day. They don't live there?
Yeah, why aren't they hanging around all the time like Schneider?
Yeah.
I can't even find this guy. All right. By the way, Julie from Seattle has sent us the most vomitous Dick Graham ever. She signs up to get the Dick Morris telegrams.
I thought you meant something else.
The screechy, panicky, breathless Dick Morris. The world is coming to an end because of Obamagrams. This one, I believe, and as we do here, we like Jim Ward to read it in the voice of Dick Morris. This is the consequence. Okay, go ahead.
It's called The Consequences of Obama Terrorism is Back. Reverend Jeremiah Wright said that the chickens came home to roost on 9/11. He was wrong. But they have now indeed come home to roost as we witness the results of the unilateral disarmament President Obama has practiced in the war on terror. Beset once more by terrorism on our soil and in our airspace, we find ourselves suddenly overmatched by those who the Bush administration kept away from our shores for 7 years. This new onset of terrorism is not the product of any change in the international environment or some new systemic flaw in our intelligence operations. It is due to the policy of President Obama in letting down our guard and inhibiting those charged with our protection. Because he's a Muslim. The failure of the intelligence operators to pass along the information about the 40th shooter and the Allied bomber did not flow from a blind spot or a lack of coordination. They stemmed from terrorism of a different sort.
Clear.
The terror of making a mistake and falling on the harsh mercies of Eric Holder. Now Nigerian terrorist Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab sets layered up in a federal prison. His interrogation will proceed, if at all, under the watchful eye of his counsel. He will not finger other operatives to warn us of other impending attacks who will see the full panoply of constitutional rights, none of which is he entitled. Barack Obama does not seem to understand that these terrorists come here to use our laws and our system, not to protect us, not to shelter, not even to shelter themselves, but to destroy us. Abdulmatah should be interrogated by the military without benefit of counsel. The evidence we obtain should not be admissible in court of law, used as a basis for his sentencing, but it must be used to ward off future terrorist attacks. Plus, we fund the torture people. I do it all the time for support.
And he goes on, but I don't think...
Yeah, I know he goes on. He always goes on, unfortunately. Wow, he was just getting warmed up there.
Yeah.
Before he had an event and fell on a sack of hammers. Okay.
Which he is as dumb as.
Yes, he is.
Yes, exactly. So did you see yesterday there was another scare in Bakersfield?
In what? Really?
Yeah, they shut down Bakersfield Airport because they said a passenger's luggage tested positive for TNT. The suspicious material turned out to be 5 bottles of honey.
Okay. I feel safer.
How can you mistake TNT for honey?
Well, maybe the trace elements that are in TNT that they can pick up are also in honey.
Oh, kind of like if you have a drug test right after you eat a poppy seed bagel. Heroin will show up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
Okay.
I was specifically instructed by the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money before they did all my medical tests for the life insurance not to have poppy seed bagel.
Because then they think you were like
Harvey
Lumpy. Because
then he wouldn't be able to get as much money when he kills me. Exactly, because they'll think I have some sort of drug problem, and then there you go. All right, let's see. Do we? Robert
seed bagel ships terrorist weapons from Afghanistan because of Obama.
Thank you, Dick, for that interjection. Okay. The meeting is at the White House. The White House statement said the leaders of each agency at the meeting took responsibility for the failures of their respective organizations. There was no attempt at the kind of finger-pointing that Obama said he would not tolerate. Robert Gibbs yesterday, White House press secretary.
Zuma Tolb spent a number of hours with FBI investigators in which we gleaned usable, actionable intelligence. Decision was made in this case similar to previous decisions that had been made with Richard Reed, with Zachariah Moussaoui, with Jose Padilla. The FBI investigators believe they got useful information from this terrorist.
But should we torture him anyway just for fun, because it's fun to see him?
Oh, my God, Stephanie?
Yes, sir.
I just got a tweet from Megan Phelps Roper.
No, you did not.
I certainly did.
No.
I'm gonna
is she thanking us for playing her little ditty on the air?
Well, no, I'm going to retweet it. But, you know, I had tweeted that we were going to be playing, you know, the song
yes.
or whatever. And
Jim, the Phelps Ropers have gone all Weird Al. Mm-hmm. They did a song parody
yes.
of the Lady Gaga hit.
Do they realize that Poker Face is a pun?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she says... Well, at the end of my tweet, I wrote "Ugh" because it was just an awful song. And she wrote, Radio Guy Chris, "Ugh, I'd be upset if I missed our parody, too. Now we're trying to answer which Lady Gaga sign," and they sent me a link to their TwitPic page where they're trying to decide which sign to hold up at rallies against Lady Gaga.
Which? What are our options?
I don't know. I'm going to click through right now.
God hates trannies.
Okay, Gaga the fraud or Gaga hates you?
You know, Jim, I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear it, but I think it's worth playing again, isn't it? This is she's the granddaughter of
she's
the Fred
granddaughter.
Phelps.
Yes, Megan Phelps
Reverend,
Roper.
Yes, of the Reverend Fred Phelps of GodHatesFags.com and the inexplicable GodHatesSwedes.com. Yes. Anyway, for some reason, Lady Gaga has gotten in their sights because God hates her for some reason. And here
well,
now
she is a bit of a slut, I guess. And,
oh,
and she supports the gays.
Oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. This is Megan. Go. Who's on backup there? Is that other Phelpses?
No, I think it's just her.
You wanna strut like you're unique, but baby, please. Monster lady, gay, show your teeth, this is all me.
God hates you.
Fake love substitution is your game, you're just a fraud. But any halfwit sees your hate for fans and for your God. Oh, 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 oh.
what he's got.
Oh, boy.
Oh, 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 you pissed off God. You'll see what he's got.
Mm.
You ain't God. You ain't God. No, you ain't God. No, hold the faith.
What?
You show your stuff to everybody.
You just got. You just got. Yeah, you just got your Horace Day.
Show your stuff to everybody. No poker face.
And it keeps going on and on for another 4 minutes.
I'm thinking poker is meant to be a verb.
Yes.
She probably missed it.
In the original song, yes, it's meant to be a verb.
Yes.
Yes. My favorite, Jim, is the little God hates you.
God hates you. Uh-huh. And that's
okay.
That's Jim's favorite kind of music too.
Yeah. Jim could have heard all 4 minutes of that. That's...
Although she is talented, I'll say.
Lady Gaga is talented. Yes.
Yes, she is indeed.
Stephanie,
I just don't understand why she's come under the fire of God Hates Fags. Exactly.
Because she supports the gays and the gays love her.
Right.
Oh, I see.
But Stephanie.
Yes.
Don't say that you like Lady Gaga, because you had to
ask. I know that song. I didn't realize that I knew it.
You had to ask about that. Now, what song is it? Who? Lady who? Lady what? Yeah, sorry, it's not Donna Summer, Stephanie.
Is it on MSNBC? I don't know it, then. I don't. All right.
She's hip to 1977. But
Yes, anything that was played during the blizzard of 77, she's hip to. Anything else?
And you missed that story earlier, Jim. Chris ran into a pointer.
Yes.
As in a pointer sister. And I have almost a photographic memory for pointer sister
information. Just before Christmas, I ran into Anita Pointer.
Well, if Stephanie ran into her, she would have poked her other eye out. So that's you should stay away from pointers.
Hey, you see. Because
she was at the, Chris saw her at a chiropractor, Jim, because she had done one neutron dance too many, you see.
And she needed a slow hand.
And she had gotten entirely too excited too many times. Mm-hmm. 44 minutes after the hour, right back with, there's people listening, they don't even know who the Pointer Sisters are.
Yeah, I know.
That's how old I am. They weren't even born in 77. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nine minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mike in Chicago on the War on Terror. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on? Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you, baby.
I have to be a conspiracy theorist with Jim. Something doesn't pass the smell test. First of all, why wouldn't he detonate it in the bathroom? That's my biggest question.
Yeah, and Jim said that.
Second of all, would Al-Qaeda send a 23-year-old kid from Yemen? Wouldn't they send someone from a madrasa in London? Wouldn't it sneak under the radar a little easier?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't pass the smell test. And then on top of it, you hear everyone saying that, oh, it's America's fault. It's America's fault. I'm like, well, okay, he got onto a plane in Yemen and then went through Switzerland or Amsterdam. Why aren't those countries getting the blame for letting him sneak through, getting through their security?
Yeah, I said that yesterday.
Oh,
go ahead,
okay, Jim. Yeah. It didn't smell right.
And
but anyways, I just wanted to call and wish you guys a happy new year.
Thank you, Mike. Go ahead, Joe.
And again, follow the money. Someone is getting filthy rich off all these scanning machines that they'll be putting into airports all over the place. They just ordered 60 more for Schiphol in Amsterdam.
Yep.
And their connections to the Richard Reed situation, too, which I'll get into later in the week.
Really?
Ooh, yay.
Oh, good. John and Madison on the crotch bomber. Hello. Hello.
Oh, yeah, hi. When they do these body cavity searches, could they at least play some Barry White or some Al Green?
Something. They better have dimmers in the airports from now on.
Absolutely. Put on the Teddy Pendergrass, loosen it up a little bit.
Or Marvin Gaye.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, trust me, I spent time at the hardware store yesterday because I can't get my lighting dim enough, Chris. Not for a woman of my advanced years.
Well, yeah, and in
like,
your...
Do you have anything with less wattage? I don't like the light.
And... In the Palatial Miller compound that I was staying in, every single light is on a dimmer.
Yes, and I have scented scarves over all the lamps. And still, not a gentleman caller inside.
Nope, not at all.
All right.
Glass unicorns, maybe?
All right. The National Security Council Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, yesterday.
Systemic and human failure here. So processes were followed in some instances. Some instances they were not.
You know, Jim, all these the suspicious things coming up, you said it yesterday, and I think you know your first instinct is always the best, and that is no guy is going to agree to have his blown off.
No, I don't think
I mean, he'll put it, but you'll do it if you're radicalized enough. They're not there.
You know, there are better ways of bringing an airplane down if you really want to do that.
A butt
bomb. Put something in the cargo hold, for example. But I don't think he was supposed to really blow it up. It was just to scare people just enough that they would give up more of their freedoms. It's, oh, yes, please scan me. You know, and while Chertoff and whoever else is getting rich off all these scanning machines. And then there's also the fact that they were some provisions of the Patriot Act were meant to expire on January 1st, 2010. That's been tabled now because of the butt bomber. I mean, it's just
right.
Connect the dots, as they say.
Yep.
There's more to this than what we're being told.
Yeah. All right. The president went on to talk about closing Gitmo yesterday as well.
Make no mistake. We will close Guantanamo Prison, which has damaged our national security interests and become a tremendous recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. But
we're
supposed to be getting out of wars, and now we're in three more, it seems.
Yeah. But, I mean, and by the way, he's not just saying that. Like, that's not just a, oh, it's a recruitment. It's because we have actual intelligence that we know it's a recruiting tool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what he was saying. The formation of this this branch of Al-Qaeda in Yemen was because of Gitmo. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary.
While we remain committed to closing the facility, the determination has been made that right now any additional transfers to Yemen is not a good idea.
And meanwhile, sadists like Dick Morris are saying, let's torture the guy anyway, just for fun. Let's torture him. You know, that if whoever you're torturing wasn't a terrorist before, they are now.
Yeah, exactly.
None of this makes any sense.
No, I know. And this is the kind of rhetoric going on. A former state legislator, a Republican, Alan Quist, he's running to replace Representative Tim Walz, a Democrat of Minnesota, in 2010. He recently told an audience that the big battle he thinks conservatives should be fighting is not against terrorists, but liberals in Washington, D.C. He said beating the radical liberals is a bigger battle than beating. This is the kind of thinking. I mean, you know, if you think they're using this to score political points, it's because they are.
Yeah.
Terrorism, yes, he said, that's not the big battle. The big battle in D.C. is with the radicals. They aren't liberals, they're radicals. Obama, Pelosi, Waltz, they're not liberals, they're radicals. They're destroying the country.
Wait a minute. Obama has Tim Geithner and Larry Summers on his financial team. The same people who caused the financial meltdown are in charge of fixing it, supposedly. That's not a liberal or radical or socialist.
Yeah. Once again, we find ourselves wishing that the president was
as liberal as they think he is.
As his right-wing friends say he is. By the way, the other thing it seems like we're having a war on is just words. You know what they keep accusing him of not using the right words?
You're kidding.
It's Dick Cheney started
after 8
by
years
saying,
of Bush? The word about right words now?
that wasn't a war on words. That was a complete desecration.
Don't misunderestimate my same age as my mother. Fool me once.
He killed the entire English language, and now they're worried about. But Dick Cheney started it by saying Obama has been trying to pretend we're not at war. PolitiFact checked Cheney's criticism and said it's ridiculously false. A review of Obama's statements of the past year makes it clear he has often said the U.S. is at war against terrorist organizations. Jim DeMint complained both yesterday and today Obama's not willing to use the word terror, which, you know, apparently they've never met the Google. Google,
or read a newspaper.
Yeah, the word terror. In fact, what's the right-wing whack thing, Chris? Free Republic.
Yes.
They praised the New York Times editorial for using the words terrorism, terrorists, and which, of course, they've never done before. Apparently, they're unfamiliar with the New York Times. If you just do the, as the President Bush said, the Google, you could find a number of words and articles that use the word terror.
But apart from that, you can't declare war on a tactic.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. By the by, Michael Steele, when he was not making racial slurs yesterday, he criticized Obama for having yet to close Gitmo. What? Meredith Fiera noted Republicans have been politicizing the Christmas Day bomber after pointing that Pete Hoekstra has even been trying to raise money off the incident. She asked Steele if it's fair game for Republicans to say Democrats are less concerned than American safety than Republicans are. He said, I don't think it's a question of saying who's more concerned before launching into an incoherent attack on President Obama's approach to foreign policy. He said, well, what we're looking at the approach this administration has taken from its very first moments coming in talking about closing down Gitmo with no strategy or plan to do so. And here we are a year later on Gitmo's still part of the mix. What? Because of tools like you.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, he said he was going to shut it down. Now he hasn't shut it down. What? I mean.
He said he was going to fix health care, but what happened? Yeah. After all we did to, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It just goes to show you, he can't do any, it doesn't matter what the president does. They're against it.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
Yeah. When Bush prosecuted the shoe bomber, that was Jim Dandy, according to Rudy Giuliani and all the Republicans. And now it's, a pussified way to conduct the war on terror, apparently. Michael Steele, here's the good news. He said that he doesn't think Republicans will take control of the House in 2010.
Yeah, but everything he says is wrong, so I'm a little worried about that.
Sean Hannity urged him Monday night to draft a new contract with America before the November elections.
Contract on America. Yeah.
Yes. Steele didn't completely commit to a new contract, but he said, I think you're going to see a definitive document with clear definitions of who we are. Okay. Maybe it'll be like that budget with no numbers or the health care reform bill with no actual ideas. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Hump Days with Hal Sparks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show gone by coastal. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller, and it's Wednesdays. You know what that means.
Steffi.
What's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The Hump Days.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Yes! Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Good morning. This is a lot of fun. We're over here in the studio having like a camera sleepover.
All of us are on camera over here, Stephanie. It's
at
cool.
HalSparks.com, you're doing something fancy, aren't you, Mr. TV Boy? What are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm using the technology available to us, and I've gone back for a second, but we'll do all this stuff. I'm just using all the technology available to exploit every possible angle on the show. So I've got Jim on camera. I've got Chris on camera. The fans can actually see them. They can actually go to... Why am I not getting camera feed from that one? See, this is how it works out when I'm nerding. Okay. It's just really nice because I think we have a chat room going live that people can go to and get in there, and they can talk to the guys and myself as well, and we'll eventually get you on.
Yes,
this is the goal.
Get your face up in there. No, I'm the Greta Garbo.
Oh, by no means. Oh, no.
I would like to maintain my magical mystery.
We will get you.
You can't see Mama.
There's no mystery about you. You whore yourself on television every night.
I'm talking about spitting on the street and picking up my frozen glacial dog poo in the backyard all morning.
Which I think needs to be documented, personally. Yeah. We'll get you a Vaseline-covered lens. There's no question.
I want the same camera that Sybil Shepherd had for moonlighting.
Exactly.
That's what I want. Yes. All right.
See, we've got Jim on camera. We've got Chris on camera. Me. It's going to happen. You'll have to join us. You will enjoy it, I promise.
Join us.
I think the truth is you're going to fight it really for a long time, and then we'll show you every time we cut to you, you'll be in like a lower cut outfit each time. That's my theory.
It's sluttier and sluttier.
Yeah, m'lady doth protest too much, and by the time it will be gelling it out.
As I do when I'm normally on TV, I offered to have Fred Willard strip search me on the Joy Behar show a couple days ago. So I'm, you know, it's just the camera makes me slutty, Chris. You know how it is.
I know how
And I don't need much encouragement.
As does distance, which is sad for me. So.
I know it.
Isn't that, apparently 3,000 miles is an aphrodisiac for you. It's I don't understand that part of it at all. But
when you even mentioned that you're going to be in New York a couple weeks, I was like,
yeah, you froze right up. Your shoulder went up to your ears.
No. Okay. All right. So I have a love letter for Hal and a hate letter for me, of course. George in Seattle. Oh, I guess play the Nazi march for me because I'm a Nazi.
You're a Nazi?
Apparently. Stephanie, mandating everybody must buy private health insurance is fascism. And you, Stephanie, are sounding more and more like a Quisling. Go ahead and continue to be a good German. I just won't be listening anymore. George in Seattle, I guess I'm a Nazi because I'm... I think the health care bill is a good start.
This German's... I don't know. I think he's just... I personally think it's a reference to you being obviously some sort of master race. I think you're a...
Thank you.
You're a high-quality woman. There. How you like... I say that one.
Yeah, especially with that Polish background.
Right.
All right.
And a love resemblance to Leni Riefenstahl.
She was annexed by, by good genes a long time ago.
That's right.
She's having her Sudetenland annexed at this right now.
You know what I'm saying.
Perhaps you'd like to invade Poland when you come to New York. All right. And a love letter for Hal, of course. Dear future wife, Steph, Mook Persons, and Mrs. Taylor, you're back. Thank the great Mother Goddess you're back. I almost died of Stephlessness, which is a symptom. You need to check into that.
Sure.
Not that Hal Sparks didn't do a great job. You are perhaps the only progressive talk show host that doesn't replace themselves with far less interesting people to make us long for their return.
Yeah.
Yeah, my strategy is not really a wise one. I always get someone that's way better than I am and thus endanger my show every time I go on vacation. I'm not very bright. We didn't get the Rush Limbaugh get a sucky fill-in host memo, did we?
No, we did not.
Hal did a great service dueling with the many Kyles out there. Those are the people screaming in the circular firing squad.
Yes.
We're so good at the circular firing squad, but every time a progressive swears, I'll never vote for a Democrat again, Obama's dead to me, Karl Rove gets laid and smiles.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
sort of world do we have when I want to grab Tom Hartman by his lapels, shake him and yell, grow up, and the voice of maturity is a gay-adjacent comedian? But you're back, and America is now safe again. Can the official amateur paleontologist, music critic, Wiccan spanking fetishist, wine snob, Stephanie?
Wow, he's claiming a lot of the monikers there. I mean, it's hard to dole them out if he's going to grab all of them. Well, I have to say it was a tremendous honor. It was really fun filling in for you guys, and you were sorely missed. And I totally, each time I do it, I have more and more respect for what you have to go through to crank out a show every day. So
there. And what was that voodoo music you were playing, young man?
Yeah, we got a lot of cards and letters about that.
I know.
Voodoo.
Yeah, I know, clearly.
We're not voodoo people.
Right, this is... Yeah, quite frankly, I'm not going to blame Tony, but he and I basically split the music, and I actually many times had to reel him in because he was like, "How about this?" And he'd play me something in between, and I'm like, "They're going to bleed from the ears."
Listen, it's like Chris babysitting my house in L.A. before I got a renter. There's going to be condoms all over the ceiling. Mama's only been out of town a month, and people have gone berserk.
Stephanie, I got about as much action as you usually do. There are not condoms hanging from the...
Yeah, whatever.
Which leaves me very suspect, considering... maybe there is a lot more action going on. Maybe, this is all a clever ruse.
So, the new official greeting of the show, as you know, Hal, is that liquid explosives in your underpants, or are you just happy to see me?
We
got a crotch bomber, Hal. Your thoughts on the crotch bomber.
I haven't had liquid explosives in my pants since I was 13 taking a nap. Dab-a-doo-boo-be-doo, comedy-da. Thank you for that. Jim and I will probably be, we could probably go off quite crazily on this, but I have my issues with the fact that Dick Cheney came out so quickly afterwards. The Republican had, there was not a moment of flinch before they attacked Obama for being soft on terror and being a danger to the country and all this stuff. And the truth is, personally, I keep hearkening back to when we kept hearing about how Dick Cheney was basically setting up a camp in the Pentagon and running his own little CIA ops, essentially, and all these hidden plans that he had. And then all of a sudden, the agencies just aren't talking to each other right on Christmas Day during the first year of President Obama's presidency. And you know, and there was, it wasn't even covert. It was overt. Like Richard Wolff was talking about it openly. I mean, so that was the part that concerned me. And when people go, I don't know why Obama's not taking care of business and just, you know, stomping a wet foot in everybody and like, I gotta say, I'm a little nervous for the guy in some cases because of all the talk that's coming out after this.
And who was in charge when the planes strangely were failed to scramble on 9/11?
Exactly.
It was Cheney. He was down in the bunker.
Yeah, even Ron Paul. Yeah, even Ron Paul says Cheney should shut up. He was on Larry King. He said, I think he had his 8 years, and he's caused a lot of trouble for our country, and he perpetuated a war in Iraq that was unnecessary and wrong-headed. So I would say it would be best he not be so critical right now.
And my thing is I don't think that criticism is necessarily accidental, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole necessarily, but I don't like the fact that he's obviously got friends and feelers still in the intelligence community, guys that they put in place and are still there, and these guys are, you know, and then we hear all this stuff about how, you know, there's still this logjam between the two agencies and that people may not have acted on intelligence that they had. And you're like, dude, this guy's like, not on like Christmas Day.
It's like those crime reporters that were always at the scene a little too quickly. It's like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Hi, how did Rita Cosby get there already? Wait a minute. It's like, yeah, did Dick Cheney give a press conference before they had even, you know, announced the, like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Right.
It's like the FBI were at the Wellstone crash site so quickly. They would have had to leave before there was a crash site.
Right. Yeah. And so that part of it really does concern me on a national security level or whatever. I think the nice thing is how Obama came out 3 days later, took him half the time that Bush took to talk after post-shoe bomber, and, you know, made a substantive conversation about it, you know, just basically addressed it. And then just yesterday gave what I thought was a great, probably the most forthcoming presidential talk about, you know, about terrorism that we've had, you know, in probably 20, 30 years. I mean, he really just said, this is a failure of the system. We're going to fix it. We're not going to play the blame game. I'm not going to stand for pointing figures, but everybody's going to deal with where their agency didn't do right instead of finding somebody else to lay the blame on. Everybody had, you know, chinks in their armor that they could have gotten in through, and we've got to fix all of them. So point the finger at yourself, figure out what extra 20% you can improve. And the truth is, none of this has to do with airport security. None of it. It's all got to do with intelligence being handled properly before it ever gets to that point. Because quite frankly, if the guy's got the explosives in his underwear and he's already standing in line, the system has failed at that point.
Right.
It should have solved it before that. And I think that's where Obama was getting mad. I mean, it was a great meeting. I mean, the quotes coming out of it were great. So
no, it was. I agree with you. It was disgusting how they politicized it, the right wing, and how quickly. Well, for instance, Chris, I've said this before, but I don't think Greta Van Susteren got where she is by accident. I think she killed that girl in whatever that, you know.
Oh, in Aruba?
Yeah, in Aruba.
Oh, totally.
Name? Yeah, that was not it was not Van der Slootian related.
No.
She was always there a little too quickly.
It was Van der Susteren.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Another
van altogether.
What was the girl? I forget now.
Oh, I can't remember.
For the love
name.
Of God. It was just, I'm Van der Susteren, I'm out here. I'm like, wait a minute. It didn't even, it just happened. Okay, all right.
Well. I remember Joran Van der Sloot more than I remember the girl's name.
Yes. She had Van der Slootian news almost every night.
Yes.
Suspicious she'd want to throw the
Natalie Holloway.
Else.
Thank you, Lori, in the chat room. See, this
Thank
is technology is already our friend. We've got we got an army of human Googles out there that will help us stay honest, and I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know.
Yeah, and the older I get, the more I'm gonna need that. What was that thing I was?
As
saying?
My mother said, they're keeping themselves useful as well as ornamental, and that's a beautiful thing.
Listen, I've already used the phrase this morning. I lived through the blizzard of 77.
I know. I heard you. I'm not just a you know, on here on Wednesdays, I'm a fan as well. You know this.
And
hear
after
everything.
A while, I won't even remember that. I'll be like, I lived through the thing. It was a storm. What did they call it?
Yeah. What is this white stuff coming from the sky? It comes every year, Grandma.
Yeah. Somebody will tweet, a blizzard, Grandma. Oh, all right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tim and Madison loves Hal Sparks on their, the Hal cam or whatever it is that we're on or you're on, something.
The newfangled technology.
Something the kids are doing. Hi, Tim.
Technology. Stephanie, you need to get in touch with the newfangled technology.
Absolutely.
They're putting a camera in my studio at some point here.
Oh, absolutely.
I look like crap, I'll tell you right now.
I already installed
it. You never look like crap. I've seen you on TV.
I know.
You know, yes, sometimes you have, well, like, wardrobe problems, but...
Yummy!
Wow!
You need to get some gays to dress you every now and then, but other times, when you were in Madison, you know, my father-in-law didn't need the Viagra when you're on stage.
Here's the thing. Television, you see, they have the hair and the makeup. When Mama comes, shows up in the morning, I'm on my way to the gym after, so I have the baseball hat and such.
Yeah, but we don't care what you look like. We just want to see you every morning.
Well, it
would be a good dose of, you know, to have my breakfast and see more Stephanie in the morning. Just make my day.
I think first of all, she looks fantastic when she's going off to the gym. I think it's actually a good look. You know, she's got the ball cap on and the tight pants. You've seen some of the pictures we put up.
Listen, when Hal Sparks leaves when I'm in L.A., when Hal Sparks leaves the studio, his underwear looks like the crotch bombers.
It's true. Absolutely. They're on fire.
I do have to say that one other person that looks damn good is Chris. We did not know you worked out so much.
Yeah. I know. He gets all mad when I call him a roid head.
Steroids. The breakfast of champions.
I don't think the listeners really care, the people looking on the camera right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I know, I understand. Thank you for calling, Tim. Yeah, Hal, don't bring up the roids, because Chris gets mad because of, you know, roid rage.
I just go berserk.
It's not roids. I've been on roids for years, and it doesn't work at all. I don't know what to look at this. It's just puny. You're comparatively. Look at this. There's me. There's me on camera, and then there's, it doesn't work.
Actually works out very hard. We work out at the same B-celebrity gym in Hollywood, and I'm there... You know, just looking at Fabio, and he's actually lifting things and whatever it is.
Right.
He does there. All right. Buddy in Columbus, the terror system was good enough to trap Joan Rivers, which I feel safer now. Yeah. Hi, Buddy.
Yes, but before I ask that question, Chris, are you licensed to carry those guns?
Oh, God. Is this the first time people are seeing me ever?
Yeah, you're huge.
I mean, what are those, like 45-inch biceps?
God.
He's the A-roidy of the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, that's right. A guy from Nigeria gets kicked out of England, goes to Yemen to train with Al-Qaeda, then can go to Amsterdam and buy a one-way ticket with no return.
Cash.
And get on a plane. But Joan Rivers, 78 years old in Costa Rica, can't get on a plane?
Yeah, but keep in mind, he actually looked like his passport photo. He looked like himself. There's a certain point where, like, Joan Rivers doesn't look... I think it was more about humanity as opposed to, like, she doesn't look like a terrorist. She's like, I'm sorry, are you livestock? Or
she looks like an Edvard Munch painting. Something happened with one of those eyes. I don't know.
Her passport picture was taken in 1897.
Well, so she got flagged because her passport has two names, Rosenberg and Rivers. Yes. Thank you, buddy, for calling.
All Muslim terrorists are named Rosenberg.
Yes, it's a clever ruse they choose.
The overwhelming number of Rosenbergians. Yeah.
They bumped her from the last flight out, and so she was, she had no ATM card and just $100 in cash.
Wow, really?
She still got off the jokes. Did you hear him, Hal? She's...
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
If I were going to make up an alias, I wouldn't pick Rosenberg, I'd pick Jolie or Pitt. Yes! Okay! Yes!
Oh, that wasn't funny.
She's got more.
Oh, great.
You terrorists wear Milano Blahniks, I ask you. Oh, no! I can tell you Donna Karen doesn't make anything that hides a bomb. Okay, Missy! No.
See, that's why we need, actually, you know, a camera in your studio, because I want to see you doing that impression.
Yes.
Oh, because you know what I do?
Yeah,
Jim and I do the same thing. We do even though it's radio, we do the physical thing. Like, I do clapping hands, the clapping flipper. Oh, yes! Absolutely, I do that.
But can you do the lips and the cheekbones? Yeah, Hal's doing it.
Yeah.
Jim, since you're on camera, do the, like, Bob Dole. He actually does.
I know, it's true.
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole needs a pen to do Bob Dole. Bob Dole's always holding a pen, and I got the eyebrow
Jim actually,
going. Can't do Bob
Jim
Dole without
the
doing
pen.
The eyebrow and the pen.
The people on webcam are seeing it right now.
Absolutely.
All right, wait a minute. Give the webcam people one more treat, Jim. Do the William F. Buckley eyes, if you would.
William F. Buckley, Junior, and with the reptilian tongue.
Freaky.
And of course, there's Jack.
Oh, yeah, right.
Gotta get the eyebrows of Jack. Get the eyelids at half mast like you've just had 40 grams of Colombian gold. Yeah. And he probably has. But.
Yes. I've just been sleeping with all of Warren Beatty's cast off.
Yeah. It's going to take me a while.
And he probably did, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go, Jack.
All right. Speaking
your
of on camera opportunity for us, which really this is what the world all is all about for me. Mm-hmm. I just see a headline this morning. Did you see this? Chris, Ed Schultz considering a bid for North Dakota Senate seat. Hmm. Byron Dorgan's why.
Does that mean?
If only he could find a good friend to take over his MSNBC show.
Interesting.
That means there's going to be a hole in the MSNBC schedule.
I think you should push for that.
That's kind of interesting.
Ed. Mm-hmm. Run, Ed, run.
No, I love it. In fact, I will be on Ed's show this Friday. That's I actually love his show. I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't. He doesn't run, actually. But
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we like, do. This is Democrats do need to hold on to that seat, and he's got enough name recognition where I think he could really win.
Well, he'd be an awesome senator.
He really would. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember first time I spoke with him somewhere, I was like, you should run for something. You're actually
Golly.
A real guy that knows
stuff. You like, actually knew the details of the things. What's going on? Exactly. You're large and from...
I have another TV conspiracy sausage to drop about CNN that will continue on Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I was so unpopular in high school, the crossing guard used to lure me into traffic.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal Sparks. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you, baby.
So I was supposed to go to work at 11 o'clock, and then I go on to the webcam, and there I have Chris, who now looks like a young Billy Joel before alcohol ravaged him.
I have Is that a good thing? I don't think so.
Oh, in the Chrissy Brinkley years.
Oh, God.
That's a compliment, Chris.
It is.
Gorgeous Hal Sparks, who I would get arrested for if I did what I wanted to do with. And then I have the...
Only if it's against my will, dear, you know. Well, I live in a very liberal state, you know.
Yeah, but as a grandma, I have to go with my favorite, the snow, a little bit of snow on the roof. Jim, you're mine.
Oh, yeah,
the
man.
People will All just right. have to share.
Oh, Sue, you impudent hussy. Thank you for calling.
Can you imagine the filthy calls we'd be getting if we had you on cam right now? It'd be fantastic.
I don't know about that. Jackson in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the webcam as well. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, Stephanie. Yeah, we can put up with the hat and the bad clothes if you give us a little cleavage or a little collage now and then.
That's all she has is a little cleavage,
She only has a little.
Oh, wow.
That would take some lighting. We'd have to create some shadows or something.
Some makeup.
Beverly in Chicago wants her some Hal Sparks, and who doesn't?
Yeah. Am I on?
Yes.
Yeah, Hal Sparks, you and Steph had made my morning. I was so sad reading all this stuff this morning. It's just so gloom. But then when you said that Joan Rivers, I can't stop laughing.
Okay.
Human, that made my day.
Right. I think they just wanted to quarantine her for, you know, it's 3 months, and they got to, you know, run a series of tests, and then she can enter the country.
She looks like a tiger.
She definitely looks like she's visited a farm in the last month.
All right.
Okay, thanks for making
it. Thank you, Bev.
See, right. By the way, these are all jokes she would make about herself, and they're all based on things that she did to herself, because I thought she was a perfectly fine-looking woman before she had all this
nonsense. I like Joan Rivers.
I do, too.
We've had her on, and I've seen her on a number. Chris, do you remember at the old radio station, we actually saw Joan Rivers right after some sort of chemical peel.
Yeah, right after she had a chemical peel, it was awful.
Yes.
Stephanie, wow. Good to see you. I'm in the studio. Wow.
She looked like the mummy. She had all the bandages around her head.
She looks like Boris Karloff? Oh, wow.
I think they
wanted to hold her in custody until she ran out of zingers.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's a free show. That's all they want.
All right, Chris, can I have my conspiracy music, please? Like, this is a conspiracy 2 days after I was spotted in the CNN hair and makeup room sucking up to Anderson Cooper by the sink.
Yes.
Yes, I was on Joy Behar a couple days ago.
Right.
And I told you I ran into Anderson and sucked up. I said, you're so great. And he said, you're great on Larry King. I said, no, you're great. The headline in D-listed writes, CNN has had enough of Kathy Griffin.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Why?
Yeah, until next year.
Yeah, every year they say they've had enough of Kathy Griffin.
And they come crawling back.
Right.
D-listed saying CNN has had enough. According to some sources, they're pulling the plug on Kathy's act after she launched a F-bomb on TV while hosting New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper. D-listed writing, even Anderson thinks it's time to say goodbye to Kathy. Oh, well.
Uh-huh. That leaves another hole in his schedule, doesn't it?
Interesting.
Holes popping. I've only been in New York a month, and holes popping up everywhere in the TV universe.
It's funny that I heard that there's an extract you can get from a large dog dung that can actually cause Tourette's temporarily in people if administered by a dart.
I did it.
Curious.
I'm like, Kathy, do it. CNN loves it when you say the F word. Do it. All right. You know what I have to get, Chris?
What?
You know, beings as I'm doing all these free television appearances, I have to at least have a writer, I think.
Okay.
Yes, Mariah Carey, she was in the midst of a concert the other day in Atlantic City. She had her hair and makeup retouched. I guess this was during the concert. I don't know, maybe on a break, something. Her stagehands brought out the chaise lounge and she laid down on, and then she was pampered with a glass of champagne. She has a huge rider, apparently, where she needs 10 carts to carry all her luggage.
Oh, wow. There's a little backstory to that. When I was shooting Queer as Folk, she was shooting up there in Toronto.
She was shooting up? What?
Yeah, right. No, she was shooting something up there in Toronto, either a video or something like that. And apparently she had 9 trailers on one street that just had her entourage in them. Like, 3 of them actually had film crew stuff, and the rest of them, like, was just a big bus for her friends.
Chris, why can't I put that in my rider? I want that here in the New York Bureau. I want a chaise lounge, breaks champagne. I need some trailers.
And an entourage.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need an entourage Stephanie.
They ended up passing a law.
That would entail needing popping people that want to spend time with me.
In a way easy. That can be filmed and doesn't require, you know, extra vehicles. But they passed a law in Toronto about how many trucks you could have on the street, and it actually hindered our shooting on Queer as Folk.
There's too many trucks, eh?
Yeah. I'm trying to get to the beer store, and there's, like, no way to get parking, eh? So can you do something about it? I mean, I like her music, and she can whistle with her neck, but.
I have a little adjunct fact that I forgot about the Joan Rivers story that actually I think ties in with the torture story that people are saying we should be torturing this guy, the crotch bomber.
Mm-hmm.
After she got bumped from the flight in Costa Rica, she said a porter found a friend to drive her 6.5 hours to the main airport. So some guy
must
had to be
gay.
In the car with Joan Rivers.
Had to been gay.
Oh. Yeah.
For 6.5 hours. Okay.
God.
Yes. So I said to Missy, "Oh no!" Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
If only Phyllis Diller had been there too, it would have been perfect.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You thought you had a bad holiday.
Right.
Exactly.
They wouldn't have never let Phyllis Diller. She would have gone. You have to have that in a pet carrier. I'm sorry. That's see what I mean? Because of the hair. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Oh, you guys will be disappointed. There will be no comeback for Siegfried and Roy.
Oh.
Yes. Siegfried.
So convincing. Wow. You guys just really the heart.
Yeah. So. Roy said there ain't gonna be no rematch. Ain't gonna be no rematch between him and the White
Siegfried
Tiger. Okay.
Siegfried in France. Yeah. Maybe he'll hire the Latino guy who drove Joan Rivers all the way across the country, you know. We can squeeze him somehow to do this, you know, handle the tiger. If he can handle Joan Rivers, he can handle a white tiger, just so they know.
So ESPN and Discovery are launching plans to announce the industry's first 3D television networks.
Yeah.
Get on that, Mr. Fancy Technology. You need to get a 3D show.
Webcam in 3D, Hal.
Your avatar's got nothing on you.
All right, look, Miss Dial-Up. don't start with me. I haven't got you on camera yet. You're worried about me actually making, you know, a real doll of you and passing it around door to door? This is the...
Build her an avatar. Come on.
That's
exactly.
Perfect moniker, Miss Dial-Up. That's me.
Everybody have to have 3D radio
glasses. I've been talking, Hal, about how my Yahoo page is taunting me. It's still set in L.A. It keeps telling me it's 75 degrees.
Oh.
Even though I'm here in New York.
Short
sweater. I don't know how to change it.
You have a Yahoo page.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good. And every time she's not even at MySpace yet. Like, how did...
Yeah. Every time she says my Yahoo page, I said, oh, you're the one who's still on Yahoo.
Right. I'm going to try and get her to get, you know, get the URL. Hey, guys, wait for me, .com.
Hey, so, wait up. Have you seen Avatar? I've not seen this.
Yes.
It's recently passed 1 billion. It's set to become the number two movie of all time behind Titanic.
You call yourself a progressive and you haven't seen the big Fern Gully meets Pocahontas cartoon movie in 3D that will inject
progressive
politics?
It looks like there's a blue
politics.
Corn moon in the whole thing because everyone's blue, aren't they?
Oh, I love the blue girls. I love me a blue chick.
Yeah, the
10-foot
tall blue girls.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Big,
you're
lanky.
Just a, you're a blue man group, I guess.
I got to say, huge, groupie. Huge crush. Coming out, and they're scantily clad too.
Yeah.
So in the right lighting, they're basically topless. So.
In 3D.
In 3D topless, 9 foot tall blue women. I it's like
in
the anti Smurf. I don't know how. You know what I mean? For all of us who are like, I'd love to sleep with
the
yeah, I'd love to sleep with Smurfette, but she's like, only three apples high.
Yeah, is it like they put Smurfette in a taffy puller?
Yeah, and then gave her cornrows.
Oh God.
And a you know, a pagan-esque biological connection to plants, which I think I'm just literally like
just the Smurfs were just that was just a gateway show for people that wanted to sleep with blue people.
No.
So now it's avatars like people can really embrace.
Oh, they thought the Teletubbies
fetish.
Were bad.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. It's part of the blue naked blue agenda.
Some people have had blue balls, I guess, for a long time.
Stephanie Louise
what?
Miller
in the blue
I don't
states.
Know.
Yeah. It gives new. Yeah. Well, it gives new meaning to them. I mean, that's that was
exactly.
The big thing. Yeah. The blue man group is going to, you know, C-block me.
No. Hal Sparks, in my personal opinion, you could be on a beautifulpeople.com. Have you heard of this website?
No.
It's a dating site that markets itself as an elite community for beautiful people. They have a strict ban on ugly people.
Oh.
They axed 5,000 members recently for packing on the pounds during the holiday season.
They got the fatties.
They dropped the fatties.
They got up to 2% body fat. It's, oh, no, you are gone. You are so gone.
Cannot. This is not
they
happening.
Threw out members after they posted photos revealing they had let themselves go.
They actually ate food over the holidays.
Yeah, apparently they ate stuff.
Yes.
Robert Hintz, the founder of BeautifulPeople.com, who I'm guessing is a fatty, said, as a business, we mourn the loss of any member, except the fatties.
Right.
But the fact remains that our members demand the high standard of beauty be upheld, letting fatties roam the site. He used the word fatties.
Fatties.
But fatties roam the site is a direct threat to our business model and the very concept for which BeautifulPeople.com was formed. He said, we responded to complaints by moving the newly chubby members back to the rating stage. This is the same as having them reapply.
Oh,
so if they
man.
Drop the pounds, they can get back on.
Wait a minute. In order to...
This is like dodgeball or something for adults again.
In order to get on that website, you have to go through a round of...
Are you hot or not? Yeah, essentially.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
yeah, back to high school for
let's,
you.
Let's all be honest. Without the extra leg up that being on television gives me, I wouldn't make it on that site. And I could, like, as much as I work out and stuff, believe me, it's not for people who I look normal, cute, healthy body type. I don't look like, you know, these like Guido-y dudes I see at clubs. Like what, you know,
the cast of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the if that's the idea of what works, I'm never gonna land. And by the way, people in the chat room say I don't have to be on that site because I get too much on my own. This is what Trey 79
did you have
says.
Like manorexia when you were on Queer as Folk? Did you have to, you know, because you
yeah.
know.
You know what? Actually,
a lot of male actors, you know, they become Stay Puft Marshmallow Men after they're off their TV show.
Right,
or whatever.
Yeah, they blimp up. Actually, the opposite was true because my character, I didn't think my character would go to the gym like everybody else. He wasn't that kind of body focused kid. So I actually worked out less. So I'm actually. I put on more muscle after the show now than I did during that time. So, you know, but, you know, we'll post some nude pictures at StephanieMiller.com.
You didn't work out when you were on the gay show? Can you get fired as a gay adjacent?
Right. I did some. I did, you know, a normal amount, but I didn't lift or anything that would, you know, add bulk. But, you know, people can see the variance in, you know, never mind. People are just Googling nude safe search.
All the good parts look good to me on that
show. They're going to Google all the naked pictures that are out there on the internet.
Yeah. Who hasn't?
I beg your pardon? What was that?
I learned how to do technology for that. 46 minutes after the hour.
You should see me on T1 line. You'd really enjoy it.
Mama dial-up likes. Right. Me likey. 47 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Show on CNN right now.
51 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's probably dissing you.
I'm sorry. What's going on in the Hal Sparks video extravaganza there in L.A.? What's happening?
Oh, we were just having a Q&A session.
Yeah.
I see. The boys are in the fort, and you pulled the ladder up, and you let the girl in.
And we're keeping out all the icky girls.
My cootie infested.
For the record, Chris is the only one in the room who actually believes in the concept of icky girls. I would just like to say that Jim and I are kind of like the catch-all girls, icky, for what, really? Have you mind?
Forsooth.
Yeah, that's right.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Tom in Durham, North Carolina, on the War on Terror. Hello, Tom.
I am a fellow survivor of the 77 blizzard.
Aha! Hey, how are you doing?
I grew up a man. So I hate to mess up the conspiracy theory, but setting the bomb off in the bathroom, number one, the problem there is that that part of the hull is much
it's
stronger
reinforced.
Because it has to support the tail section.
Yep.
And number two, if you set the bomb off somewhere, anywhere along the fuselage, it's going to disrupt the major control services, which is the main wings. So it would be a bad move to try to set it off in the...
Well, exactly.
Then again, man, there's a lot of strange stuff going on with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too...
in the bathroom would have been a bad play.
Well, and again, you know, he was using, was it PETN, the explosive that hasn't worked before, has a history of not working before, is traceable to us... In a lot of ways, we're the ones who passed it out in that area of the world. Mm-hmm. And so
and since 9/11, I mean, people are more vigilant. So the fact that you're going to be able to light an Acme bomb in your pants.
Right. Yeah.
a black bowling ball with a fuse attached to it.
Yeah. The chances of that.
Without drawing attention.
Right. Exactly.
Bowling bag ball count as carry on? Is there a fuse in it?
Right. Yeah. Huh.
It's my right wing bundt cake in Amherst, Jan. Hey, John. Good morning.
How nice of you to remember I'm a bundt cake instead of a love muffin. Thank you.
You were a love muffin. You were promoted to a bundt cake.
Or demoted.
I have a simple question. I have no idea, and you can't even tell me what's going to happen if really we do gain a degree or two in the next 10, 15, 20 years. You can't tell me what's going to happen. But I know damn well I can tell you what's going to happen when you go 30 degrees below normal. You lose food. We're losing our food supply because of global cooling.
Oh, I see. You're saying global warming doesn't exist because it's cold in Buffalo in the winter.
Right.
I'm saying that it's freezing in Tampa right now, and they've lost a lot of crop. Yes.
Global warming refers to climate change. You understand that, right?
Right. Over.
I do believe, yes. Oh, no, I do believe in, if that's the case, I do believe because...
Because it still gets cold in the winter doesn't mean global warming doesn't happen.
And because it's getting cold in different places also. The problem is when you're shifting the weather patterns of the entire planet because you're heating up the poles and it pushes that, you know, the Earth will try to compensate by creating cold patches all around it like a ring. So eventually you're talking about the equator being cold. I'm sorry, I'm
going
to...
You're blinding him with science. You're doing it again.
Oh, hardly. Then there's the Atlantic conveyor belt. Question.
Here's the other part. Here's the other part. Do you, are you pro-pollution?
No.
Are you pro-pollution?
He's gone. Of course he is.
He's gone. Now, you blinded him with science. I warned you about that.
I mean, by shutting down the conveyor belt in the Atlantic, whereby warm water comes up from the Caribbean into the North Atlantic and then recycles back again, that's been disrupted as the ice cap melts. Because as salt water freezes, it expels a salt molecule.
Right.
So then you have cold water floating on top of the warm water. We could paradoxically have global warming everywhere else, and Northern Europe has its own ice age.
Yeah.
Excuse me, do we have to know this?
Yes,
it's going to be on the final.
There will be a test.
It will be on the final.
You couldn't see me raise my hand in the back here, because I'm in New York.
We talked about this a bunch while I was filling in last week, but here's the thing with the global warming deniers and the people who don't like the idea of climate change and they think that cap and trade's going to be a pinch on their wallet, is that you can fix all the elements of pollution and not care about climate change. You can say it matters to me that people not get emphysema and not get cancer and asthma attacks at a higher rate because they live around a lot of fossil fuel related power plants and a lot of traffic and that kind of stuff. We can solve all these problems through cap and trade and through doing this and never have they don't ever have to believe that the Earth isn't older than 5,000 years or whatever. They can still just do it just for the children. So shut up.
Yes.
Wow. Other than that, I have no opinion.
Everybody walk the dinosaurs. All right. Here's how you know you're really crazy. When Glenn Beck says you are.
Oh, boy.
WorldNet Daily.
Glenn Beck.
On his radio show yesterday, Glenn Beck lampooned the birther movement, saying its claim that Obama's not an American is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He argued the birther's agitation is a dream come true for Obama because they're constantly discrediting themselves and making all conservatives look foolish. WorldNet Daily, then, which has led the birther charge, of course, took offense to the way Beck caricatured its movement's argument.
Yes.
this is great.
Yeah, this is foul. Well, the crazies are fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, and this is why I think a lot of Dems are kind of playing it close to the chest as far as the 2010s and not as panicked as you might think they would be considering some of the polling. Is that like, oh, no, the Democratic Party's, around 40% approval rating. And then you look at the 12/8% of the Republican Party versus the teabaggers, and you go, wait till the primaries come and the teabaggers start showing up at the Republican primaries because the people that they're floating aren't psycho enough.
Right.
And
then I would love to hear the audio of Glenn Beck screaming at a WorldNet Daily for a freeper to get off his phone.
Yeah.
Get off my phone! That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Hal Sparks and all his fancy technology. You can go to halsparks.com to check that out.
Absolutely.
And stephaniemiller.com to check out the rest of us.
We'll see you next time. We're going to stream this on your site as well, and we're going to get a camera on you, I promise. It's going to be exciting.
All right. Okay. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.